The Lord is great.
Producing this chorus in remembrance of evangelist Jimmy Swaggart. His voice
makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
Yes.
When he speaks,
he really is my
troubled man.
You remember that one? His voice makes a difference. When he speaks, he relieves my troubled mind. It's the only voice I hear that makes a difference. And I follow one day at a time. Yes, his voice makes a difference.
When he speaks, he relieves my troubled mind.
It's the only voice I hear that makes a difference. And I follow one day at a time. And I follow one day at a time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Let me have this one to it too.
Yes, bless the Lord.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Say, and go to Matthew chapter 4 verses
18 to 22. For those of you just joining us, these are the scripture reading for this morning's lesson. I'm going to read Matthew 4, 18 to 22 first.
Yes.
I'm in the King James Version. If you have another version, please follow as well. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
"He said unto them, Follow me." Mm. That's an invitation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "That's an invitation."
That's an invitation.
"Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Yes.
"They straightway left their nets and did what? Followed him."
Yes.
"Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them." Someone said, "That's an invitation."
That's an invitation.
And they immediately left the ship.
Yes.
And their father.
Yes.
And followed him.
Indeed.
Turn, go now to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It reads, "Now when they saw the boldness," stick a pin right there. Say the boldness.
The boldness.
"When they saw the boldness of Peter and John,"
yes,
"and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men,"
yes,
"they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus."
Hallelujah.
I want to use these verses, these are titled this morning, "An Invitation to Boldness."
Yes.
An invitation to boldness.
Yes.
What seemed like just an ordinary, routine, regular day for these fishermen,
yes,
was interrupted by an encounter with Jesus.
Indeed.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus came by. Yes. Somebody said Jesus came by.
Came by.
Yes.
And that is good news.
Yes.
When Jesus comes by, it's
good
news.
Yes.
Whenever and wherever Jesus shows up,
yes,
it's good news.
Good. Good.
And things are never the same,
no,
wherever he shows up.
No, sir.
Things are never the same when he shows up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
So Jesus came by. And Jesus does not accidentally show up.
No.
Nowhere.
No.
He's on a divine
mission.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
He intentionally shows up.
Yes.
Right? He was on divine appointment.
Yes.
Now we're serious. They said, he doesn't show up on your time or my time. He shows up my appointed time.
Yes.
So somebody might have an appointed time somewhere today.
Yes, sir.
But yes. Jesus is showing up,
yes,
to interrupt whatever our plans are.
Yes. Yes.
I thank God for the worship this morning.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
It shows that we are a people, someone once says, that praise is the song of a soul that has been set free.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thank God somebody's soul has been set free this morning.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But Jesus showed up. He extended an invitation to these fishermen.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says they dropped everything and followed Jesus.
Yes.
They dropped everything and followed Jesus. May we have an interruption at any moment.
Yes.
And may we be sensitive.
Yes.
That when God shows up, that we drop everything and recognize that it's all about you, like you said earlier,
amen,
this morning.
Amen.
That it's all about him.
Yes.
So Jesus shows up on this ordinary, routine, regular day for these fishermen. And they didn't hesitate. The sons of Zebedee, mm-hmm, Jesus later named them the sons of thunder.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And they it says they left their father and the net.
Mm-hmm.
And they just followed Jesus.
Followed
He didn't say the Father interrupted them or stopped them. He didn't say the Father followed them.
Yes, yes.
They just left it and followed it. What kind of a man could this be that would look upon men and say, follow me, and we don't have any direction, nothing at all, and we just get up and follow him? Later in the scripture talks about what kind of a man is this man? You know, that would, and even the wind and waves obeyed him. Hallelujah! What kind of a man would just call me and have me go and follow him? But I thank God that in that November of 1990, I've heard me say before, that my life was interrupted by Jesus.
Amen.
That I bowed my knees and I called for, I cried out to him.
Yes.
And him knowing where I am and what my circumstances were.
Yes.
And he gave my wife a new husband. I tell you, I often say the man she married is dead. Because I got saved after I got married. So that man is dead. I'm a new man. Every man in Christ, she's a new creature.
Yes,
all things have passed away.
Hallelujah.
So November of 1990, she got a new husband.
Yes.
Brand new husband.
Amen.
Brand new husband.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, but God interrupted my schedule.
Yes, sir.
And those of us who are saved, God has interrupted our schedule.
Yes.
And we have to be sensitive that when he does it, God, may you give us a spirit like these men that will just drop everything.
Yes.
Career through the door.
Yes.
Nothing else mattered. They had no idea where they're going, but they just followed Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And they didn't know that they were going to be in for the time of their life. I've had no regrets since November of 1990 about the decision I made to follow Jesus Christ. Absolutely no regret. Mountaintop, yes. Valleys, yes. Through it all, I've trusted in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But we've got to keep trusting in Jesus.
Amen.
No regrets following him.
Yes.
And when he comes around, we must be sensitive.
Yeah.
I keep saying here in that word, we must be sensitive.
Yeah,
because I tell you what happened, and we're going to see it later. Wherever Jesus went, he confronted religion.
Yes. Yes.
Right through the scripture, he's confronting religion.
Yes.
So they just drop everything and come. My question to you this morning is, how far are you willing to go?
Yes.
Because it costs everything.
Yes.
It cost him his life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cost us everything.
Yes.
Everything.
But there's a crown. I heard somebody say righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
There's a crown that is available and awaiting us.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That we must make sure that we obey and follow Jesus.
Yes.
So as he passed by today, my cry is, Lord, do not pass me by. While you going after the Peter and the Andrew and the Paul and the James and John, do not pass me by.
Yes, yes.
While he's going here, there, do not pass me by. Do not pass this house and this congregation by, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they went on this journey, and it's this exhilarating journey of what they didn't know, but it is called discipleship.
Yes.
It's a journey of discipleship. It's a schoolroom of transformation.
Yeah.
It's like doing a makeover.
Yes,
and it's using the resources of heaven in the setting of earth to confound the wisdom of man and to confound intellect upon the face of the earth and religious practices.
Yes.
So it's a Jesus. There are people who, when they found Jesus, they give everything.
Yes.
Man found the treasure in the scriptures.
Yes.
And it says that after he found it, he covered it up,
yes,
went and sold everything,
yes,
and came back. That's what the kingdom of heaven is.
Yes.
This treasure that is available to us.
Yes.
And how much we receive
is
how much we are willing to go after in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Somebody
Amen.
Bless his name.
Amen.
So they went on this journey of discipleship. I want us to recognize, to know this thing too. They didn't call for Jesus.
No.
It didn't say that the men were praying and crying out to teach. They didn't cry. They didn't call for him.
No.
But he came anyhow.
Yes.
Sometimes we call upon him, but I like when he just shows up unannounced.
Yes.
It wasn't my intention to meet you at in this way today, Lord.
Yes,
but
yes.
God, I thank you that you show up in the way that you do.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
he just shows up.
Yes, yes.
When you least expect him, sometimes you're in trouble.
Yes.
And somebody comes along the way. There's help coming. And he just shows up.
Yes.
So they didn't call for him. But he extended an invitation to them. And they decided, we're going to follow Jesus. So this the journey of discipleship begins. And discipleship requires trust.
Yes.
You've got to trust Jesus as you go through.
Yes, yes.
You have to trust him. It says we have to have faith in following Jesus.
Yes, you have to, yes.
So they went on this journey. And there are levels of discipleship. There are different levels. You start off here and you keep going higher and higher and higher. And discipleship never ceases. It never stops.
No.
He says to the disciples, he says, you must obey all my commandments.
Yes.
And obey my words. Then are you my disciples. This act of obey is a constant obeying. It is present, future, keep going on.
Yes.
If you obey Jesus Christ
as
Lord and Savior. And there are some things that the disciples discovered along the way. And I'm going to touch on Peter just for a moment.
Yes.
Peter discovered that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
The Son of the living God.
Amen.
When you're in the school of discipleship, you're going to discover some things about Jesus and something about yourself.
Yes.
Jesus also said to him, "Thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church." But he said also to him that, listen, Satan desires to sift you as wheat.
Yes.
And he also made him know that you, Peter, I prayed for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, you're going to deny me three times.
Yes. Amen.
Because you learned something about yourself.
Yes.
And you learned something about Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Nathanael himself, another disciple, learned something about Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. When Jesus told him about himself first, he says, thou art an Israelite in whom there is no God. And then Nathanael, by that revelation, says, thou art Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
Thou art the King of Israel.
Yes. Yes.
So on your journey, I know that you have discovered and found out something about Jesus and about yourself.
Yes.
Somebody bless his name.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's a journey of self-discovery sometimes.
Yes.
And my question is, what have you discovered in the last year, for example, on your journey of discipleship? What have you discovered? I want to talk for a few moments about this discipleship, this journey of discipleship. For discipleship, there are several purposes. One of the purposes of discipleship is a radical transformation from darkness to light.
Yes.
A radical transformation.
Yes. Yes.
And darkness, the way I describe darkness is a separation from God that gives you a heart condition that results in a way of thinking that produces a way of living.
Yes.
In other words, you are separated from God.
Yes.
Darkness is not in God.
Yes.
So darkness is a separation from God first. It gives you a hard condition called sin.
Yes.
Fallen man's nature.
Yes.
And the mind starts to think dark.
Yes.
Full of lust and greed and covetousness and all of those things.
Yes.
So it produces this mindset that results in a lifestyle.
Yes.
Of darkness. A lifestyle of living separate from God.
Yes.
When Jesus came on, he says, I am the life and the light.
Yes, yes.
And he says that, man, the light was the light of the world.
Yes, sir.
And he says, men love darkness more than they love light.
Yes.
But I'm glad that the light comes and is available to all of us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So one of the purpose of discipleship is this radical transformation from darkness to light.
Yes.
Another reason for discipleship is
to be taught the ways of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
That's what discipleship does.
Yes.
They had a first-hand experience with Jesus being taught, Jesus teaching them the ways of the kingdom of heaven. And one of the first things that we'll find out about the kingdom of heaven is that like every kingdom, there's a king.
Yes.
There's a king. We call him Jesus. I don't know who you call him, but I call him Jesus. There's a king. And there's a ruler and there are rules which we call laws.
Yes.
In every kingdom you go to, whatever citizenship you belong, you have.
Yes.
And I know citizenship is a current topic in our news item today, but every citizen have rights in their particular domain.
Yeah.
Right? And so Jesus was part of the purpose of discipleship is to be taught the ways of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Now, another purpose is to expose us to the mind, language, and power of heaven.
Yes, sir.
So it's a radical transformation from darkness to light. It's discipleship is for to teach us the ways of the kingdom of heaven. Discipleship is to expose us to the mind, the language, and the power of heaven.
Yes.
And Jesus embodied all three of these.
Yes.
First of all, it talks about the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and 5.
Yes.
It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he made himself of no reputation. It's a mindset of humility.
Yes, yes.
But the word that is used in Philippians is this word that refers to a mindset or an attitude or a way of life.
Yes.
And it captures this disposition that a person takes.
Yes.
That this is who I am.
Yes.
This is who I represent.
Yes.
So it's this mindset that it captures.
Yes.
And Jesus lived it out. It says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ,
yes.
Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now, and if we talk about the language of heaven, there is no such thing in the language of heaven that says, this word doesn't exist in heaven. Impossible.
Yeah.
No, impossible doesn't exist. No. In the language of heaven, impossible, it doesn't exist.
No.
No.
Because if you were to say, this can't be, and God said, let it be, then it becomes. So he has this power over all nature and everything.
Yes.
That there's nothing impossible with God. And as children of God, we want to have that kingdom mindset where we learn the language of heaven. And where we stand upon the language, the word of heaven. Because we have been transformed from a darkened mindset where we think things are impossible. But I'm here to tell you that in the heaven, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So also in the language of heaven, there's nothing called insufficiency.
Amen.
No lack.
No lack.
It's impossible to lack anything in heaven. There's no lack. All right, so Jesus tested his disciples.
Yes.
He asked them, he said, we're going to prepare some food for these people. And Andrew's saying, but we don't have money enough to buy for these people. And Jesus said, he uses everything as an object lesson.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Remember I said earlier, is this the resources of heaven that he brings to earth.
Yes.
And he's using the resources of heaven to confound our mind and confound our intellect.
Yes.
And so he says to them, Andrew said, there's none. And Andrew, I think, went to his brother and he says, there's a lad here. And one of them went and said, there's a lad here with five loaves and two fishes, right? And Jesus said, bring it to me. Somebody said, bring it to me. Just bring it to him. Bring it to him, right? And then he confounds them. It's showing them that in heaven there's no insufficiency.
Amen.
What God has for you, it is for you.
Amen.
It is for you.
Yes.
And so I'm decreeing and declaring today to those of us who are here and those who are listening and those who will listen a year from now that what God has for you, it is for you.
Yes.
Don't let your earthly mind counter what the word of God says. Don't let that mind, that earthly mind, it battles us all the time. God says something, and then the next thing that comes up is the spirit of the man himself in you to start questioning, how is that possible? How shall this thing be? Nicodemus asked, Lord, Jesus said, you must be born again. And Jesus said, how can this thing be? But in the mind of God, all things are possible. He says, the camel can go through the eye of a needle. And they marvel, how can this thing happen? How can it be? Whatever your circumstances or whatever struggle you're going through, I'm saying that it is possible. And I'm decreed it is possible. In the name of Jesus. It is possible. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So there's no insufficiency or nothing called impossible in the language of heaven. That's not a word that will exist. And it does us well to study the word, to show ourselves approved, to study the word, to find out what it says about heaven and what it says about us. The disciples were just right through those 3.5 years of ministry of Jesus. There's not much recording of them doing things. Jesus himself did all of the work. And then he sent them out 2 by 2, the 12, and he says, I'm giving you power to cast out demons. And to tread upon serpents. Right? So but right throughout, they were just here in this classroom on earth, and they were just walking through and being amazed by this man called Jesus. Said that they experienced what he experienced. They saw the water being turned into wine. They saw the power of Jesus when he went into the temple to cleanse it, to throw off the table of the money changers. They saw him where this woman comes up sick, suffering from disease and the issue of blood, and she touches garment. They saw virtue all around them. They saw this King of Glory going up to the mountain to pray to his Father. They learned stuff that you and I would do well to learn, and not just learn it, but to grab a hold of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They learned stuff so much that even these two brothers, I'm trying to find what the name Jesus called them. The sons of thunder. Even the two of them, when they saw this, what they saw Jesus walk on water.
That's
why I'm speak to the wind and the sea.
Yes.
And the day came when something was going on, and they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? They're experiencing all of this thing, and they said, listen, but we can do this stuff too. We have this Jesus around us. And Jesus didn't rebuke them.
Yes.
He didn't.
Yes.
He just said, you don't know what spirit you are of.
Yes.
He didn't rebuke them. In other words, it's possible that they can call on fire from heaven. And he didn't say, you can't do it.
Yes.
Because there's nothing there's no word such in the language of heaven. Right? And so they had that. Now, Jesus who taught them, he was the embodiment of what I'm calling the mind of heaven, the language of heaven, and the power of heaven. So this mind, language, and power of heaven was walking with them all along. He was external, and he was walking with them. But on the day of Pentecost, somebody say hallelujah. You should be shouting right there. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came into them, the mind of God was in them. The language of God was in them. The power of God was in them. You and I have been saying that we have received the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And the scripture says, who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God?
Yes.
So that mind is in us, that Spirit of God is in us, the language of heaven is in us, and the power of heaven we carry, the Bible says, as this treasure that is in our heart and vessel.
Yes.
So we have that presence of God going with us.
In your
hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is I have good news for you. If you're saved, you have this mind, language, and power that is in you.
Yes.
Glory to God. So, God is getting ready to launch somebody. I don't know who it is, but God is getting ready to launch somebody. But I pray that all of us would stay in the place of readiness to be launched in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Getting ready to launch us.
Yes. Yes.
Stay in the place of readiness, getting ready to be launched. God's in the Jesus' invitation, when he says, follow me, it was not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing we have to follow him. Every day that invitation is extended, we wake up, follow me. We connect with him, follow me. We have no idea where we're going, but just follow him.
Hallelujah.
So my mindset is that, Lord, launch me. For I am determined not to remain the same. I don't want to be the same today like I was yesterday. I hate the staleness. I don't want my prayer life to remain the same. I don't want my way of reading the Bible to remain the same. I don't even like when I'm just walking, studying my word, that I do it the same place. I just want something fresh and something new. So we talked about this old journey of discipleship to radically transform us from darkness to light. This to teach us the ways of heaven, the ways of the kingdom of heaven, and also to expose us to the mind of heaven, to the language of heaven, and to the power of heaven.
Yes.
So when we do that in discipleship, one of the products of discipleship is boldness. That's a product of discipleship.
Yes,
you find that you get bold in areas that you didn't know that you would have boldness to.
Yes.
Recall myself as a young man, and I could not stand before a crowd. My lips would shake, my hands would shake, and my feet would shake. It's like, you know. But thank God for having pulled me out.
It's the spirit of boldness.
Yes. And given us the boldness.
Yes.
Boldness is a willingness to take risk.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And risk involves exposure to dark, to danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to have that willingness to, when he says go, you say go, I'm going.
Yes.
Yeah. So and the question is, where did the disciples get this mindset of boldness from? Now, being with Jesus always results in impartation of something.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an impartation or an understanding of boldness. In John chapter 7 and verse 26, I'll read it for you. But they were looking for Jesus, not the disciples, but the Sadducees and the chief priests and so forth. And it says, John 7, 26 says, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking for this man,
yes.
And he's speaking,
yes.
Like it's as if he can't touch me.
Yes.
And they're saying, do they know that this is the Christ?
Yes.
Because he's speaking boldness.
Yes.
Turn now with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This is your invitation to boldness this morning.
Yes, yes.
Acts 4 and 13. Somebody say hallelujah while they look for it.
Hallelujah.
Bless his name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in Acts chapter 13 is where we come to now. And it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John.
Yes.
And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men.
Yes.
They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with
Jesus.
Yes. Well, they were following Jesus, right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
So they understood, they saw that these men have been following Jesus.
Yes.
They have been with Jesus.
Yes.
What the rulers and the scribes and the elders and the high priest is saying is that we have seen in them evidence of that they have been with Jesus.
Yes.
Not that they were into self-defense class.
No.
Not that they took karate lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they went to the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they were matriculated at this particular college.
Yes.
But they have been with Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Because what they recognize is that these men had gone through a radical transformation.
Yes, yes.
What Romans 12:1 talks about is be transformed by the renewing of our mind. These men had been through a radical transformation.
Yes, yes.
And what these Sadducees and elders and rulers saw when these two men spoke with boldness is that they saw the mindset of heaven in them, because they had just come through Pentecost.
Yes.
They saw the language of heaven being spoken by them.
Yes.
They saw the power of heaven in them.
Yes.
Just like it was in Jesus.
Amen.
So whatever Jesus was,
yes,
they represented
yes,
exactly
yes,
as he is
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And they saw all of that. And Peter and John spoke with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to take a risk. Remember I said boldness is a willingness to take risk. They had to take risk.
Yes.
And one of the risks that they had to take, this risk is, look at verse 19. Still Acts chapter 4, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to obey, to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You judge it.
Yes.
So they were willing to confront the religious system and the religious mindset.
Yes.
So they had to take that risk.
Yes.
And the risk is they're contradicting religion now. Okay, they're contradicting the religious mindset. The risk that they had to take, that they took, was to testify to what they had seen and heard. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
That's that was the risk was they took, was to testify of what they had seen and heard. Verse 20 tells us that. What did they say for verse 20? Somebody read that.
For we cannot but speak the things
which we
have
seen and heard. That was the reason that boldness is speaking what the word of God says,
yes,
and just letting it rest.
Yes.
Let it be your defense.
Yes. Yes.
Let it be your covering. Let it be your protection.
Because yes,
God honors his word.
Yes.
It says, even in heaven, the angels open to the word of God, to the voice of God.
Yes.
So they had to take that risk. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their testimony. The boldness to speak what God says and not to compromise.
Yes.
Now, religion is getting exposed. Everywhere Jesus went, he confronted religion.
That's right.
And sometimes you're taking the risk, you don't know you're taking the risk.
Yes.
But it's after the fact you realize, man, that was some boldness. That was some boldness.
Yes, yes, yes.
In 2006, my wife and I was on a mission trip with a group to Liberia. And Liberia had just come out of an extended time of war. So the place was devastated. The buildings were just destroyed, just damaged. They didn't have any light also in most of the areas. As a matter of fact, while we were there, they got light. But we scheduled an evangelistic outreach in the city of Monrovia, the capital city. And so we went, we had our traps, and we separated into groups of twos and so forth. And we went, and we were evangelizing. That was the first time I've experienced this. People stood in line waiting for us to evangelize them.
Really?
Yeah, there was a line waiting for us to tell them about the good news.
Yes.
I'm like, my God. And there was this one particular man. I went to him and I greeted him and asked him his name and so forth. But I didn't have any track in my hand.
Yes.
And so, but the way we set it up is that our van was right close by along the curve at the roadside, and we just go to the van for the track. The lady who went with Madam President, she was the president of the organization, and she said, Pastor Dean, you know who that man is that you're just talking to? She says, that's the most notorious criminal in Liberia. When I heard that, I said, in the name of Jesus, I went to him and I said, what's the name?
Yes.
He says, Fire.
Yes, sir.
I said, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And I declare the word of God to him.
Yes.
I evangelized him.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him that he's a sinner.
Yes.
That he is lost.
Yes.
But Jesus came to set him free.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He accepted what I said.
Mm-hmm.
He repeated the sinner's confession and prayer.
Yes.
And I believe he's a saved man.
Yes.
But after the fact you look and they said he's the most notorious criminal in Liberia.
Yes, yes,
it's a foreign country.
Yes.
If he came, I would know where to run or where to hide. But the power and the presence of God is able to sustain you and make you look like a giant even before a giant himself.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So he gives boldness.
Yes.
And that's one of the byproducts of discipleship.
Yes.
Boldness.
Yes.
God is summoning his church, you and I, to boldly confront the evils of our time. I'm going to close. And I'm trying to provoke somebody today to no longer be callous and complacent. I don't care what physical condition we're in. You have the power, the mind, and the language of heaven resident in you.
Yes.
The outward man perished, but this power remains constant in the name of Jesus. So it's just to recognize that we have been given power.
Yes.
So when the Lord called Peter, Andrew, James, and John in Matthew 4, they risked it all.
Yes.
They left everything to follow Jesus. Would you just pray with me? Father,
forgive me
for being timid in the face of adversity. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of a sound mind. You have taught me to walk by faith
and not by sight.
Lord, not my will,
but
yours be done.
In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, why is this boldness also required? Boldness shows up also because it is a confidence in which with which Christians approach the Father.
Yes.
It is a confidence that we need, and in Hebrews 10 and 9, 10, sorry, 4, 6, he says, let us therefore come boldly.
Yes.
Because it's required of us
to
come like that before the Father.
Yes.
So let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yes.
And Hebrews 10 and 19, as we close, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
In 1 John 4 and 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect.
Yes.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Yes.
Because as he is,
so
same mind,
yes,
same language,
yes,
same power. As he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
Somebody bless his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
So you might be here today and you have found yourself in a place where you have gotten the invitation or you're receiving the invitation. And so I want to urge you to follow.
Yes.
Do not hold back. Do not resist the pull of the Holy Spirit. Because it is not pulling us to do harm.
No.
It's all good.
Yes.
It's pulling us to better, not to lesser.
Yes.
It's pulling us to greatness.
Because
we must go from glory to glory,
glory
to glory.
Yes. Yes.
So the Spirit of God is not unctioning us and pulling us to do something harmful. We, on the other hand, we don't know where he wants to take us. And there is this apprehension and there's this timidness about us.
Yes.
But like he said to Peter, later in the scripture it says, just launch out in the deep.
Yes. Yes.
So God is launching somebody today.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, I'm just going to invite you. You can stretch your hands up. Those of you in Raider Land, to just to acknowledge, Lord, that I'm a sinner.
Yes.
And you have done everything that is necessary for me to be saved.
Yes.
You have even given the invitation.
Yes.
The only thing left for me to do is to follow.
Yes.
God, I praise you for the one or the two or the three or the hundreds of the thousands throughout the length and breadth of this earth who will hear the word and follow you today.
Yes.
I give you thanks. I give you praise. And I bless your holy name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.